بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فرمایا استغفار توبہ ہے. ابو بکر بتانے رحم دلے اسے استغفار 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 من تسیق فوق بلس یعنی استغفار من توبہ 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 شان ریز ایت ریپینٹنس توبہ ایکچولی مینز تو ٹرن ٹوارڈز. And this word is used in the Quran also for Allah Ta'ala as well, and it's used for people as well. The meaning when it's used in the context of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is Tawwab al-Rahim. He in other words, he turns towards the banda, to the servant, with rahmat. And when it's used for the servant, for the person, it means this person turns towards Allah Ta'ala, seeking forgiveness. So when the person turns unto Allah Ta'ala, seeking forgiveness, repents for his sins, then Allah Ta'ala becomes Tawwab, and Allah Ta'ala turns towards him with mercy. So istighfar, it means Tawbah. Or Tawbah ek ism hai, che maano ka jame. And Tawbah, it's a concept which has six meanings. It's not, in the context of the Sharia, it has a wider meaning. It has six meanings. Awwal, guzre gunahon par sharminda hona. First meaning is that you have to regret for your sins, the past sins. You must be remorse and regret. And that is the ruh of the soul of Tawbah. If one does not regret, then it's meaningless. It's uttering verbal repentance is not sufficient. It's only the body of Tawbah. The ruh of Tawbah is regret in the heart. So the first requirement of Tawbah is to regret in the heart, to express remorse. Dom pir guna na karne par mazboot niyat rakhna. Second requisite of Tawbah is that you have to make a firm niyat, a pledge to Allah Ta'ala that you will not commit this sin again. That is another requirement of a valid Tawbah. You have to make the niyat of not committing the sin again. So, jo faraiz ke zaya, jo faraiz ke zaya kya hai, uska i'ada karna. The third is the faraiz, the fard acts, wajib fard acts which we have destroyed, which we did not fulfill, it is necessary to fulfill them and to make qada of it, make qada of what you did, of the faraiz and the wajibat which you had neglected. Minus that, the tawbah is imperfect. Charm khalq ke hukuk جو برباد کیا ہے ان کا ادا کرنا. And the fourth requirement is that the حقوق, the rights of people, the rights of the makhluk of people which you had violated, usurped, you have to fulfill it, you have to make amends. Without that, the tawbah is not valid, it's not complete. پنجم, جو گوشت اور چربی کے جسم میں حرام سے پیدا ہوئی ہے اس کا گلا دینا. Fifth requirement is that the body, the meat and the fat which was the body which was nourished with haram, that has to be melted away. How is that? How will that be melted away? By remorse, regret, eating only what is halal and observing the etiquette of eating and not overeating, eating little, and being very careful of what you are eating, abstaining from mustaba, keeping many rosas, fasting. Because minus this, without eating only what is halal and tayyib, all amal becomes useless. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, everyone must have heard his name. یعنی کہ مانگتے کنٹمپرریز آف امام ابو حنیفہ رحمۃ اللہ علیہ، ویری گریٹ محدث، گریٹ فقی واس آف ہم. ہی واز دا سن آف مبارک عبداللہ ابن عبداللہ، دا سن آف مبارک. ہو واز مبارک؟ مبارک واز سلیو، اینڈ ہی واز سلیو آف قاضی ایٹ دا ٹائم. دے واز سلیو آف قاضی. دا قاضی ہیڈ اے ڈاٹر اینڈ many, and the Qazi was from nobility of the nobility, many proposals coming from all sides, but the Qazi was also a pious person. He hesitated and he was not satisfied with the proposals of his daughter. So one day the proposal came from a person of very high birth, noble birth, good person. So the Qazi was in a quandary whether I should accept or not. So he said, let me ask, make mashwara, shura with my neighbor, my adjoint. That matter how intelligent, how knowledgeable a person may be, always make shura, never consult. Consult, take advice, it's not necessary to follow the advice which is given, but you should take advice from people of experience in that field. And then you reflect on it, and then if there's any goodness in it, you take it. You feel now the advice is not beneficial, you leave it aside. And the one who has given the advice should not become annoyed if his advice is not accepted. So he said, let me ask my neighbor. And who was his neighbor? His neighbor was a magician, a fire worshipper. And his neighbor was a fire worshipper. But it comes in the hadith, even a kafir neighbor has rights over a person and should tolerate the inconveniences which neighbors cause and create for a person, even if the neighbor is a kafir. And if the neighbor is in need, he should be assisted. But this doesn't mean that you must, especially in this time, you must visit him in his house and participate in all the haram that is taking place there. No. Display good conduct, the inconveniences which he causes, tolerate it, don't argue and quarrel with him, and when he is in need, grant him assistance. So the Qazi thought, let me ask him for advice. If he gives me good advice, I'll accept it, and if his advice is not correct, then at least I did fulfill also a right of a neighbor. If a neighbor will feel pleased that I am keeping good ties with him. So he went to this kafir fire worshipper and asked the Qazi, asked him, I want to ask you something, advice on an issue. So the fire worshipper said, oh Qazi sahab, you are the imam of your people, of the Muslims in this city. What advice you want to take from me? People come in droves and they come for advice to you, and you have to decide so many cases, disputes. And furthermore, I'm of a different religion and we are apart. So what advice can I give you? So the Qazi said, no, you're my neighbor. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the neighbor has rights and we should fulfill the rights also of the neighbor. So I'm asking you, you give me advice. So he asked, what is the advice, on what issue? So Qazi Sahib said, my daughter, I have received many proposals, but today a very good proposal has come from a noble person, and I want advice. What do you say on this issue? Should I accept the proposal or not? So the fire worshipper said, O Qazi Sahib, in our people, we look at lineage. If the person is of a high family, high lineage, then we accept it. And the Christians, they look only at beauty. If a character is corrupt, also they are not concerned. They only look at external beauty, at appearances, and they accept. And the Yahud only look at money, you see. Even it does not matter how the person may be, as long as he is a wealthy person, they will accept him. And I've heard that according to the people of Muhammad, they emphasize on good moral character. They look at the character. So now you decide, Qazi Sahib, I've given you all these different angles. So now you decide whether you want to follow our tariqah, our method, the method of the Christians, the method of the Yahud, or the method of your own Nabi. So the Qazi Sahib thanked him and said, no, what you have said is right, I follow our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So the Qazi Sahib thought, now for whom should I give my daughter? I've gone to the Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the person must be a man of taqwa, of high integrity, of taqwa. And he said, the best person I am aware of, whose taqwa is of the highest degree, is my slave Mubarak. He used to fast every day, in the whole year, the entire year fast, and the greater part of the night he fast in Salat. And he was very, very pious, he was. His taqwa was of very lofty status. So what did the cause that he first set the slave free, emancipated him? He set him free and then he said, I would like to form the nikah of my daughter to you. So Mubarak accepted it. The nikah was performed. Then the daughter taken to the home of the slave, now is a freed man to Mubarak. So the first night when she arrived, Mubarak, what did he open this musalla and started to perform salat. He did not speak with her, not look at her. You know, he ignored her. And he, from the entire night, he passed in Salat. The second night, same, the whole day, he's fasting in Salat, the whole day and all night. Three nights passed in this, 3 days and three nights in this manner. On the third night, the wife, she said, asked him, what is wrong with you? He says, right to the people, the other women in the neighborhood are speaking and saying that my father gave me to a slave. And even the slave, now you slave and you also ignoring me. So then Mubarak said, you are misunderstanding this. The reason for this is that your father is a good person, he's a pious person, but after all your father is a qazi. And your father is getting a salary from the Baitul Mal. And the money, the wealth of the Baitul Mal is at the monument, it is mushtaba, doubtful, and there's much haram also in it. So it is my intention to feed you what halal and haram, halal and tayyib for 40 days. Halal and tayyib for 40 days, and only after 40 days shall we consummate the marriage. In order to ensure that the offspring, the child which will be born, will be a child of taqwa. Because if with that doubtful food which your father has given you, it is part of your body. And for 40 days we have to eat only halal and tayyib, so that the child which will be born will be a child of taqwa. And she accepted it wholeheartedly. She was also a pious woman, accepted it. And the effect of that was that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, such a great muhaddis, faqih of the time, mujtahid of the time, contemporary of Imam Hanif, was born. So that is the meaning of melting away the excess, the haram which has been accumulated in the body. Jism ko ibadat se dukh dena, jis tarah maasit se rahat ka maza paaya hai. And the sixth requirement of Toba is to put the body under pressure, hardship, whatever you mean, to keep it away from haram, to suppress its evil desires in the manner in which you had given it comfort and pleasure with haram. Now you have to apply pressure to it and keep it away from haram. So this is the meaning of Toba. If they, if any of the requisites are is missing, then the Toba will be defective. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah.
How do you apply this in today's time, Mawlana?
Hey?
How do you apply this?
Today we're living in a minefield. You just walk carefully out when you get thrown up. Just to go we are in such a time that you practice one thing, you'll be safe, you'll be safe. Try the thing, all the thing, accept the thing, our weaknesses, and don't justify our wrongs. And exercise a little pressure on the nafs. Have a look, Muslims today, to eat anything in a kafir's place, as long as there's a haram halal certificate hanging there, they eat it. No concern, you know, what they're eating, the pork, what they're eating. Wherever there is halal certificate, and always halal certificate, and a haram certificate is issued by haram, illegitimate bodies, just for money. And Muslims, they freely eat, obviously. Now at least you have to exercise some control, be conscious then what Allah Ta'ala is, his tawab is rahim. He turns and makes it easier for you and he overlooks other things. Obviously, I mean the standards were extremely high.
Well, that one is easier.
Hey?
That one is easier.
Which
when
one?
When we go to the outlets and that has got a haram or halal certificate, but we avoid it.
Mm.
But know what happens if you go to a Muslim brother? And
yes.
He offers you something.
You have to refuse. Let me explain to you something.
This is what I want to
tell you. Yeah, I'll explain to you. If you go to a Muslim's house,
yeah.
If he serves, for example, if he serves fox meat or rat meat, and you know, you want to eat it. And now, if you go to West Africa, they'll serve rat meat and halal. That wild push rats in terms of the Maliki Mazhab, the Maliki is there. So when we go there, we don't eat meat. Or you go to Indonesia, Malaysia, and these places, in the villages, they serve hyena meat. In fact, in terms of the Shafi Mazhab, that's permissible. Hyena, fox, etc., this kind is permissible. So if you know that this meat is served, you're not going to eat it. So then the thing is, when you go to a Muslim's house, in the first place, the host should understand the tabiat, the disposition of the person who is feeding. It doesn't matter if they get annoyed. We have to look. We can't eat poison. If someone gives you poison, a Muslim, you can't eat it. You have to refuse. Haram is worse than poison. Poison physically will harm you. But haram, your dunya and your akhir is all destroyed. So you shouldn't, that is what's called al-bhus fillah. It is dislike, hatred, animosity for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. For the sake of Allah Ta'ala, that matter, if they become annoyed.
So, but in the circumstances, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't, but like nowadays, the general, program, there's hardly any house with hope that you won't have this carrying chickens everywhere.
This
so you have to abstain from it.
Because now see what when we go every way in Jamaat.
Yeah.
And many times people bring food.
Mm.
Now must we ask them that look where this meat came from or how was
no,
it?
No, you must just abstain from it because you know where the meat comes from. There's no other place that is. Just what we do, I travel all that thing. Many places I travel, all over the world. Everywhere come meat, I refuse straight. No, we don't eat, they give us vegetables. Oh, the thing which is by some bread and by tea and things like that. There's a will, there's a way, they say. It doesn't matter. You just have to abstain that thing. But they should make it known. Where you go, when you travel in Jamaat also, the people who keep the food, before that, they must intimate to them. Someone there who amongst in the group must inform the people, say, prepare vegetables. Dal, chow, rice, and dal, and things like that. That's it.
You
have to make some sacrifice for the deen. Sahaba sacrificed their lives.
Jinn.
We are not required to sacrifice our lives. We sacrifice comfort to them.